Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us at. A few announcements before we begin our worship today. First, a reminder that today at noon via Zoom we are having a charge conference about the sale of our house on Center Road. If you would like to ask any questions, please reach out to me. If you want to be in that meeting, please reach out to me. But remember that since it's a charge conference, only church council members have vote, but everyone has voice. Also, please note that we are not doing drive-through communion today. I know we've been doing every other week, but we will not be having it today. And finally, our Bible study and our weekly meals continue. If you need more info about that, call us or check out our website. And also, please note, if you're coming for a meal on Wednesday nights, do not block our driveway. Wait in one of our other parking lots. And then when serving time begins, come around the building. We'll make sure we have plenty so that you get served. But we ask that you don't back up and wait in our driveway and block Center Road in case any emergency vehicles need to get through. Now, let us take a moment, take a breath, center ourselves as we prepare for our time of worship and listen to our prelude. And now for our call to worship. In the midst of fear and anger, in the midst of mayhem and destruction, God calls us. With everything else going on, who has time for a feast? We're busy. We'll get around to eating eventually. In the midst of our anxiety, our worry, in the midst of bill paying and appointments, God invites us. We are tempted to just grab a bite, a sandwich between errands, a snack we can eat while driving or checking email, or working on today's big project. The feast is spread. All are invited. All are welcome. We are invited. We are welcome. We are worthy. How will we respond? Now let us join in some singing.
unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks. Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where we are free. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we can see all the things that really matter, be at peace and simply be.
And now, as we enter our time of prayer, let us join in our unison prayer. Through light and shadow, I am led, I follow. Through the ins and outs, the ups and downs of these days, when my heart is failing, when my spirit rejoices, when I can barely put one foot in front of the other, still you beckon me on. When I stumble, you support me. When I can go no further, you carry me. Through light and shadow, in death's dark vale, and on the mountain peaks, you lead me. Through tangled webs on rocky ground, on smoother paths, through light and shadow, you lead me. I follow. May I never walk alone. Now let us continue our time of prayer with silent reflection and musical meditation. As we gather this day, we pray and lift up many. We lift up, Lord, to you. We lift up those who are struggling with illness and lifelong sickness, those who are fighting against disease, and those who are fighting against oppression. Lord, as we gather today, we lift up to you our communities and our countries and our world. We know you called us to be stewards of all on this earth, and yet we lift up to you our sorrow and regret at not being stewards, but being keepers only of ourselves. God, as we gather, we know that we, on our own, are not worthy. But at the same time, we know that you made us worthy when you came and walked among us and talked and taught and loved us and said, because of me and my love for you, you are all made clean. Because of me and my love for you, I'm wiping clean the slate. I'm taking it away from you, the debt that you could not pay, and I'm paying myself the debt that is owed to myself, that you would be able to be with me even when you don't listen to me. And Lord, we lift up all of the struggle and the suffering that plagues our lives to you, knowing that you can take it away from us. You can give us the power to take ourselves out of the equation and to listen to you again as we once did. As we did at your feet and in the streets and in the houses and when you were on the cross and when you walked out of the tomb and when you rose up in the air. We listened to you. And we listened to all the words that you taught us, even if we didn't understand them all as you taught them. And we say the words that you taught us to pray, hopefully that we, even in our lack of understanding, may gain new understanding as we say them yet again. And so we now join in the prayer that you taught us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. I brought something with me this morning that you might be familiar with. I don't know if we can zoom in on that or not, but it's a card, and on the top it says, You're invited. And it's got where you're invited to, when, the time, and whether you can RSVP and let me know if you're coming. That's a party invitation. I have a whole stack of these in my drawer at home. And before COVID, I used to have a party at my house every couple times a year. And I'd invite 10 or 12 friends over, and we would play games and talk, eat good food, and it was so much fun. But I haven't been to too many parties lately, and my guess is you haven't either. My guess is we haven't been able to do like birthday parties and Halloween parties are changing. Maybe we'll be able to go to a Super Bowl party, maybe a birthday party sometime soon. But for right now, the invitations are staying in my drawer. Now, you may wonder why I'm talking about parties, but you probably have guessed that that's what our story is about today. Jesus tells another parable, and you remember what parables are. They are stories where Jesus is telling a story that's not true to make a point. And this particular one is about a party, and it compares a party to the kingdom of heaven. And how it starts is that there is a king who wants to have a huge party for his son who has just gotten married. So he says to his servants, go out and invite everybody. Now notice I said he sent them out to invite people because they didn't have mail, texting, emails, phones, so they couldn't use these. But what he did is his servants would go announce the parties. And then when everything was ready for the party, he would send the servants out again to tell everybody, everything's ready, come to the party. And that's what this king did, except after they told everyone, everything's ready, come to the party, nobody came, not one person. Well, this upset the king, so he sent out more servants. He said, go tell them, we've got great food, we've got great things to drink, we'll probably be dancing, good conversation. Come to my party to celebrate my son's wedding. So they went out, and the people didn't want to hear it. They had excuses. I have to go work in the field. I have to go check on the business. Some didn't even have excuses, but they beat up the servants and killed them. Well, that really upset the king then. So he sent, what he did was he destroyed their city and them. Then he asked his servants, more servants, go out in the fields, on the streets, anywhere you can go, and find people to come to this party. I want the banquet hall full. I want every seat filled. Invite anyone that you can find. And they did that, and guess what? The banquet hall was full. Everybody came to the banquet, and for the most part, everybody had a great time. Now, you may wonder what this has to do with heaven. But there's a couple ways it's connected. One is, you notice he gave everybody three chances at the beginning to come to the party. And we talked about how we all have so many chances to become a part of God's family. But they turned him down. The other lesson is that, remember, he invited anybody, anybody that he could find on the streets, in the field. And the lesson there is we're all invited into God's family. God wants every single one of us. He loves us so much that he wants us to attend the best party in the world, and that's the party that's in heaven. He wants us to be a part of his family because that party doesn't end in an hour or two. That party lasts for the rest of our lives. So as you go through this week, think of the tremendous love God has that he wants you to be a part of his family forever. Let's say our prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that you are a God who not only gives us second and third chances, but who loves us so much that you want us to be with you forever in your kingdom. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.
And now the first lesson from Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, whom are my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Loved ones, I urge Yodia and I urge Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I am also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the scroll of life. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise, practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. Jesus responded by speaking again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. He sent his servants to call those invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent other servants and said to them, "Tell those who have been invited, 'Look, the meal is all prepared. I've butchered the oxen and the fattened cattle. Now everything's ready. Come to the wedding party.' But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields, others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed his servants, abused them, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go to the roads on the edge of town and invite everyone you find to the wedding party.' Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding party was full of guests. Now when the king came in and saw the guests, he spotted a man who wasn't wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Tie his hands and feet and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Many people are invited, but few people are chosen.' This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God." What to do with a difficult passage? Now, I would imagine for many of us, this is not a scripture we would run to in the Bible when we're looking for comfort or surety or, well, just about anything, to be honest. This is probably not the first place we run. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Yes! No! It's not a happy parable. So why is Jesus telling this parable? Well, we have to keep in mind a few things. First of all, he is rebutting the religious leaders. We talked about that last week, that they're there trying to get him. They want to get him. They don't like him. They don't like what he's been doing. And so they want him out of the way. And interestingly enough, Jesus does not shy away from saying things to them they might not like to hear, even though he's now in Jerusalem and all is good, and his disciples are probably like, "Hey man, we're in the big city, This is their headquarters. Maybe let's tone it down a little bit. And so instead, Jesus responded again by speaking in parables, and he tells this parable for them, basically laying out the plot of, you guys had a chance. We told you, you didn't listen. Now what is going to happen? But built into it are chances for repentance and learning and righteousness. It's not as if it's an either-or situation, but it is a situation of learning and preparedness. Things have been prepared, and yet those who were invited did not want to come. Now, the whole grabbing and killing servants is a pretty easy connection for those people to make, and it's a pretty easy connection for us to make. Prophets. Oh, yeah. Prophets had a really bad habit of ending up abused by those in the state who didn't like them. So being a prophet, while it was kind of a good gig because you got to talk to God, didn't always have great benefits and great retirement packages along with it. So the connection here is pretty obvious, but it still leaves us with the question, what to do with a difficult passage? Well, first, we have to wrestle with a difficult passage. We shouldn't simply go around it. Now, I am born and raised a Midwesterner. Now, when I went to college, there were some people in Nebraska that, since I was from Kansas, thought I was from the South. But anyway, I am actually from the Midwest. And I know there's people in Ohio who say we're in the Midwest. But if I had a map of the United States, I would point out the fact that I'm from the center of the contiguous United States, and it takes me 13 hours to drive there from here. So this is not the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest. This is the Mideast. I'm standing by that geographic breakdown. But anyway, in Midwestern culture, it is common to beat around the bush, to be, as I learned in college, Nebraska nice. And so often, when things are difficult, instead of dealing with it, we go around it. Thanksgiving's coming up soon. If we do get together, I know it's an odd year with COVID and all, we may not get together, but some of us might get together. Please be safe if you do. But Thanksgiving, we often go around topics, right? So that's the temptation for people like me from the Midwest. Difficult? I'm going around it. But we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go around it because it's here for a reason. So first, we have to actually wrestle with this text and ask ourselves, what does it say to me? What is it speaking to me? And second, we have to ask ourselves as we wrestle, how does it apply now? We have to understand what Jesus was doing when he was saying it to them, but we also have to understand that the Holy Spirit still speaks through the scriptures. And so this text says something to us now, and we cannot divorce it from our current reality and pretend like it's irrelevant. So we must not avoid, but engage, and also ask ourselves, what does it say to us now? Are we prepared for the call? Are we prepared for God's calling upon each and every one of us? And are we prepared for what that may look like? Now, there are those that reject outright the invitation, but there's also the man who comes to the wedding, but who is not dressed and prepared for the wedding. I have found myself many a time engaged in a conversation that I was not prepared for. The comedian Brian Regan makes a joke about trying to be like this at a party where they're talking about something and he says, "I like art." And they say, "Well, what's your favorite Renaissance painter? And do you have a preferred painting method that you like to look at when you go to museums?" And he realizes in that moment that he is over his head because he tried to jump into a conversation he was not prepared for with the statement, "I like art." Similarly, many of us are often not prepared for difficult conversations that take place nowadays. Some of those are around racism within our society, something we cannot ignore. It's reckoning with as it presents itself in our daily life. And for some of us, we simply say, I want to go around the conversation of racism altogether and not engage with it. And the question I have is that because you feel unprepared for that conversation? If we feel unprepared for a conversation, then our duty is not to avoid it, but to prepare ourselves for that. Now, I was never a big one on doing research. It wasn't my favorite thing to have to do in college. I didn't like having to look stuff up. I didn't like having to read all that stuff. But seminary taught me that being a pastor is not, and being a Christian is not, being able to regurgitate books and information just like, oh yeah, or even better, say, I read that, let me go find that book, I'll look it up, and then I'll have my counterpoint, but is instead to immerse ourselves in such a way that we learn and we don't retain all, but we are able to grow and dialogue about difficult and new conversation topics. And so we should not avoid difficult conversations around racism in our society, but we should educate ourselves so that when opportunities arise, we are able to effectively engage in those conversations and not find ourselves saying things like, I'm not racist, and then having no conversation points to back up with, similar to I like art. So this man in the party is unprepared to be in the party. Similarly, our task is to make sure we are prepared so that when the moment arrives, we're not asked, how did you get in here? And how did you find yourself in this conversation if you were not ready to have it? We should simply say to ourselves, it's a difficult topic, but not one that I should go around, and so I should prepare myself for the eventuality of having to talk about it. We cannot avoid difficult passages, just as we cannot avoid difficulties and systemic problems that plague the world in which we live, no matter how much we want to. But we can prepare ourselves and have been told by God and Christ as he walked among us to prepare ourselves so that when those moments arise, we are ready. And that difficult passage and difficult conversation seem less daunting because we planned ahead and identified a weakness within ourselves that we could work to correct. That's what we do with a difficult passage. And that's what we do with difficult things in our society. We don't avoid them, but we educate and prepare ourselves so that we are better disciples, better neighbors, and better Christians. Amen.
Sinners to the gospel feast, let every soul be Jesus' guest. He need not run, be left behind, for God hath rid all humankind. Sent by my Lord on you, invitation is to all. Come, all the world, come, sinner thou. All things in Christ are ready now. This is the time, no more delay. This is the Lord's accepted day. Now this moment at his
As we come now to our time of offertory, let us take a moment as we begin to reflect on all that we give to the Lord of ourselves, of our finances, of our prayers, of our witness, of our service. And remember all that God has given us, the gifts that we've been given, the gifts of musical ability, of singing, of technological understanding, the gift of prayer, the gift of fasting, or simply the gift of being a good neighbor. Let us offer up to God our thanks and all that we are during this time. Let us have a moment of silent reflection. Now, let us join in our doxology. Please stand from wherever you are as we sing. Join with me in the responsive offertory response. Giving is not a casual act. It relates God's work to our work. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us give as people whose work is inextricably linked to God's great works of creation, redemption, and empowerment." Let us join together. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. As you prepare to go back out into the world and back into our lives, may you take courage in knowing that God is with us even in the difficult times, and especially when we are preparing ourselves for difficult conversations and difficult learning. We give thanks that we worship and know a God who loves us so much that he came to know each and every one of us personally and invites each and every one of us to partake in the ministry of all Christians through the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us to grow beyond what we think we can be and to be instead fully transformed disciples of Jesus Christ, who in turn transform the world through our actions and our daily walk. Let us now join in our benediction response.